Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Doing everything I can to stay available for the guys. Like I said before, in the past, nothing changes with that. Knowing when is the time to give up on a play. I would say the longevity for me to be on the field with my guys is more important than whatever that one play is. You know, you have more quarters than there would be within just that one play that I'm trying to, you know, show the guys that, you know, I'm competitive and whatnot. And I know they know that, but it's just a nature thing, you know? It just comes natural to me to compete in that sense, and that's just the thing I fight with every time.
Tua Tagovailoa there from earlier this offseason on his availability and timeline with the Dolphins. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is our buddy Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, ready to talk some Dolphins with you. How are things?
Good morning, man. I'll always appreciate a chance to talk some ball in this time of year. You know, a lot of people enjoy this is like the vacation period, but this is just anxiety for me, man. I'm ready to start the season.
How about the celebrations down there in South Florida? Is Panther fever going crazy back to back?
It depends where you are, right, Marcel, for that?
Yeah, I think it definitely depends where you are. We stayed inside. Might actually hit up the parade. I think I was out of town during last year's, and can't take these for granted. I've never been to a championship parade, so I think it'd be kind of cool. But it's peaceful for now. You know, I think you know, there's this conception that that South Florida doesn't care about hockey, and I don't know that I would go that far. I think South Florida is proud of the Panthers, but it certainly is different than if like the Heat win the championship or if the Dolphins win a championship. But it doesn't mean that people don't care, but they definitely would care more about the other teams.
Yeah. How much of that is also like Broward County, right, in Fort Lauderdale? Like is it, can you notice a big difference if like you're in Fort Lauderdale, how many Panther fans there are or how much they care versus if you're actually like in the heart of Miami?
Yeah, 100%. So like when they lost to Vegas 2 years ago, I think I was still living in downtown Miami, and I didn't see, you know, hardly any mention of them, of the Panthers, of the Stanley Cup, of anything. But last year when I was in Fort Lauderdale, you know, Las Olas Boulevard had banners and lights and stringers, and, you know, like, you were aware that it was going on.
They brought the cup to Elbow Room, too, right?
Mm-hmm. But the practice facility is also in Fort Lauderdale, like, in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. The stadium is in the cut of Broward County, man. Like, it goes stadium, Everglades, like, bang, bang. Like, there's no separation. You can see the swamp from the stadium. So they put it pretty far away from Miami proper. But, yeah, Broward County cares 100%.
Yeah. Marcel, of course, covering the Miami Dolphins down there. Marcel, what kind of year are we in for Miami? It feels like Bills fans look at this team the same every year. The fates have kind of been the same for the last few seasons. But this one strikes me as odd. Talk of culture changes, and I guess the first question is, like, have there been the kind of changes that usually lead to a team talking about culture changes?
Well, we haven't necessarily seen it, and that's not to say that they haven't happened. You know, what Samuel L. say, the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence, right? We just haven't been in the locker room yet, but all the guys, they talk about it almost incessantly. Coaches talk about it incessantly, but we haven't gotten specifics. You know what I'm saying? Like, we keep hearing culture change. Yeah, we're changing. Yeah, we're doing this. But, like, I don't really know what yet, because we haven't had that, like, one-on-one time, that inside time in that locker room in the facility. But they swear that there have been, you know, as Mike said, some certain non-negotiables that have been agreed upon. You know, Tua came out and said, basically, you know, hey, we've been, you know, we talked and we said, aren't you guys tired of the same thing happening every year? Then, yeah, let's do something different. You know, one little snippet of a change that we've heard is that they've been spending a lot more time together outside the facility, which is something that we were told they were doing last year. And Bradley Chubb told us straight up, yeah, we were lying. last year. Mm-hmm. Like we tried to, but we weren't really about it like we have been this year. And you know, good for them. If the culture is changing, if they are spending more time together, if da-da-da-da, good for them. That's fine. But my first question is always going to be, this is year four of the program, man. Like, why are all these things happening now? Why are these certain non-negotiables happening now in year four instead of in year one, year two? But whatever, better late than never, right? Best way to get out of a hole is to stop digging.
Right. And with the same coach, like, I don't know how – how much of it is, well, let's hear this in the season, right? Like, easier to do it maybe in the spring, shift the culture in this way? Or do you feel like it should be taken seriously? And the coach part of it, too. Like, that's always the first thought I have is kind of what you just said. Is, well, you usually hear stuff like that after you make a coaching change or something significant. And they've made some player changes that maybe could be this, but I don't know. I wonder if I should take it seriously with a lot of the same key pieces.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of the same key pieces. The notable absences, you know, Kendall Fuller is gone, but he hadn't been there long enough to make an impact one way or another. That wasn't enough of an impact player to. Javon Holland is a pretty notable departure after this past year. Still, I don't know if he is a driving force behind the culture or not. I don't know if I would call him that. They are actively trying to trade Jalen Ramsey, but like when you think of the problem children, you know, for lack of a better term, the problem child in the room, you might be looking at a certain wide receiver on the other side of the ball who took himself out of the game in week 18 last year. But he's not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, we spoke to him, and he said, you know, he doesn't even expect to be a captain again this year. Like, he expects to have to earn that back. So, like, I think in their mind, they see a humbled Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Ramsey has to go. And that is something that's still actively occurring. I don't think it's the biggest distraction in the world there. It's not like he's still around the facility, you know, being a malcontent. Like, by all accounts, he's still in L.A., training and waiting for a trade, but you do kind of approach it with some skepticisms when you say, like, wow, like how many people are actually gone. But you know, the thing about Jalen Ramsey is he's not like a vocal presence, at least when we are in the locker room. You know, like his locker, it's the first one by the door. You know, he can slip in, slip out at will. He wasn't frequently, kind of like Jordan Poyer, he wasn't really seen with other guys in the locker room. He usually kept to himself in that locker room, at least when media was in there for that 40, 45 minutes. But because he's Jalen Ramsey, it's like a magnetic personality, right? Like when he is fired up about something, like you're going to be fired up about something. When he is upset and moody or, you know, not showing up on time, like it just sets the wrong example. It sends the wrong message and it kind of trickles down by osmosis. So I think at least that's how the Dolphins feel. Him gone, I think they do see that as a major personnel change.
How ugly did it get with Hill at the end of last year with all this being said? Like, did you think they were maybe heading for a divorce because of taking himself out of the game and maybe there was more going on otherwise?
Actually, I did because, like, there had been – I don't want to say, like, it had been brewing – all year. It's not like this has been, he's just like a horrible person throughout the year. He was late to meetings for sure. But there were some moments in that locker room post game where it felt like, it's not like he's out here blowing up and yelling at people and screaming at people, but it was odd behavior. And I don't want to go super detailed into it, unfortunately, because like, I don't want to get a call right after I get off this radio station. But, like, there were some moments where it was like, I didn't know how bought in.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A really bought in he was. There were some, and then of course the Jets game was the Jets game. But you know, if obviously he's frustrated, He had never missed the playoffs before. He's dealing with what should have been a season-ending wrist injury all year, so his production was dropped. And that's more of an explanation than an excuse. I think the rule of thumb is, if you, no matter how hurt you are, if you make decision to go out and play, you better play. You have to be able to play. You have to be able to produce at the level that you are expected to produce, injury or not. And the fact of the matter is, injury or not, he did not produce the way he's paid to produce. So, it was, and not to mention, and then there's the off the field stuff that just seemingly piles on. I think, it's been a couple months since he has been in trouble outside the football field, but the distraction still remains with this like Noah Lyles stuff, which I think pretty visibly Mike McDaniel was annoyed by. It's one of those things where I think the team would rather him just like, dude, please just play football. It's not like Gruden calling Antonio Brown level of please just play football. But I do think there's a sense of like, hey man, look, 30 M's a year, we really just need you to hoop. Please.
Marcel, to that in a moment, but on the Noah Lyles thing, like, so that's the challenge with the sprinter, the American sprinter.
And he was going to race
him. Tyreek just ran 100 and put up a time that was half a second slower than Lyles and is like standing on that, like, let's do it. He's afraid of me. I the clock doesn't.
Well, didn't Lyles pull out of it?
For personal reasons, but the point is, you're not faster than him. We have clocks. I don't get it.
That's the beautiful thing about track, right? Like, it doesn't matter the stage, the school, the level. Like, fastest is fast, man. Like, I don't care if you're running for Northwest Missouri Tech or you're running for Oregon. Like, your time is your time. The clock isn't slower or faster depending on the level you're at. So, like, that's what I've always appreciated about that sport is it doesn't matter where you are. But I think, like, Tyreek maybe sees that as like, okay, well, I could be close. Like, if I train, da-da-da, then I could do this. However, Mike McDaniel has come out and said, I really don't care as long as he's not specifically training for this race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he basically said, like, if you want to go out there and run and you think that you're just as fast as him, like, I don't really care. I really don't care. But if you are out here spending time training to run this race and that is actively taking away from your time training to catch a football, then that's an issue. And that's the thing that, like, this is another one of those culture change aspects that I thought was honestly directly pointed at Tyreek Hill was McDaniel. And again, I'm going to paraphrase here, but said, like, we need to keep football the main thing here. Like, that is the biggest change. That's one of the biggest changes. Football needs to be number one. So, like, anything that you're doing that makes you, let's say, late to a meeting, that makes you skip a workout at home or do da-da-da-da, like, that is for the birds now. Like, you have to stop that. And so, like, I thought that was, again, directly pointed at the guy who's challenging arguably the fastest man in the world, might be the fastest man in the world, to a race. It's like, hey, man. What does this have to do with the Miami Dolphins playing football? That's where, a little bit of the skepticism creeps in when I hear that, and then I hear we're changing the culture. But then, like, the guy who, ended the season on such a controversial note is still doing things, indicative of his past behavior. Like, how much is the culture changing? But if the race isn't happening, then fine. But, like, that's just one thing, again, like, not to keep harping on Tyreek Hill, but, like, I think that's one thing for the Dolphins that you kind of hope to see. Like, no more challenging Olympic champion. No more hopping on, ride-alongs with streamers and calling out Bills fans and calling out the other teams. Like, no more trolling quarterback lists without naming the quarterback that plays on your team. You know, like, no more video games. Like, no more of this other stuff. Like, this other stuff. Like, we're trying to win, not build the brand.
And
so, like, I, that's, That's what I think the team is looking for.
I had a stat for Joe maybe 2 weeks ago that kind of floored me about the Dolphins. Warren Sharp put it out about their explosive plays and 25-plus yard plays, that they were last in the league in that department. Like, this gets back to, at one point, Miami was a track team, but in a positive sense, where everybody's fast and everybody's so hard to defend, and that magic formula, whatever, it went away. So how much of it is about, you know, culture change, and how much of it is about Mike McDaniel having to rediscover what he had at one point that seemed to dry up last year?
Yeah, well, you know, for six games, they're playing with the you know, Yeehaw crew at quarterback. So, like, the explosive plays just don't happen when Tua's not at quarterback. Like, point blank, period. It's not happening with Tyler Huntley. It's not happening with Skylar Thompson. Both of which, like, we're put in an impossible situation to run an offense that was not designed for them. In Thompson's case, like, he should have played better. He'd been at offense for 3 years. But in Huntley's case, like, that is just, I don't envy that at all. But, even with Tua back, they kind of, I'd be interested. I'd have to go back and look at the play. I know I wrote about it in season, but their plays per drive and average time of possession per drive were among the highest in the NFL because they switched from, you know, they didn't want to just have the home run plays. They didn't want to rely on that. They wanted to be able to sustain drives, and that is where their offensive focus kind of shifted to. And that's why you saw a guy like, you know, Jonnu Smith, turn in a career season, or Devon Achane catching passes. I think he led all, I don't think I know, he led all NFL running backs in catches last year. So, like, it was like an offensive mentality shift. I don't know that they want to get back to, you know, the home run hitting Dolphins again. It's difficult because obviously that worked. The offense was very good. The team was good. They made the playoffs. I think that the sustaining drives with the threat of the over-the-top play is still going to be the offensive focus. Getting the run game and the physicality, increasing your physicality as a line of scrimmage is still going to be the focus. I don't think that you're just automatically going to see them, you know, run Tyreek deep, you know, 20 times a game and like before, and just kind of hope for the best. I will say I always thought it was interesting. Nobody talks about it because in that interview, you remember that podcast that Tua did with Dan Le Batard last summer?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, when he discussed Brian Flores, like, that was the focus for everybody. Everybody wanted to talk about that. Nobody talks about the little nugget he sprinkled in there about how in 2023 they force-fed Tyreek because they wanted him to get 2,000 yards. Like, they forced it. It was an internal goal to get Tyreek to 2,000. Mm-hmm. And they got away from that last year. So I don't see them reverting to that, especially after paying Waddle what they're paying him, like, to be an expensive decoy for Tyreek. No, that's not going to happen. So, like, I think they're looking for balance. They're looking for sustained drives. They're looking for physicality in the run games. We might not see the 70 explosive plays a year anymore. Like, it might just not happen. Like, that's not what their goal is.
Well, that's where I wanted to get this in before we run out of time. On Waddle, because Waddle had such a down year for his standard. Like, the targets weren't there. And I know he's dealt with injuries. But if here we are talking about sustained drives and Jonnu Smith leading the team in catches and Achane leading running backs, What is Waddle's place on this team even after Hill is gone? Because when I think of him, I'm usually thinking of those, you know, downfield. I've got a stat sheet open. He led the league in yards per reception 3 years ago. So what is his role, I guess, going forward then, if that's how they want to play offense?
I mean, he's proved he can be a number one receiver. I mean, he was as a rookie, and even though he was, like, grossly misused as just a slot guy and a kind of a kind of like a grandized version of how the Bills used Cole Beasley in, like, 2020, when they couldn't really run the ball, so they used Cole to get those 3-4 yard gains at a time. Like, that was Jalen Waddle as a rookie. I think his skill set goes beyond that. I think he can be a number one receiver. It's just the fact that last season, again, you hate to say the same excuse, but the quarterback play just was not up to par. The chemistry between Waddle and those quarterbacks was not up to par. That passing game as a whole was not up to par, and he suffered because of it. By all accounts, and from what we've seen in the five practices we've been at the spring, He has been, he's been electric. He's been able to get open at will. He's catching things, you know, intermediate, short, deep, like all over. He is doing it against questionable secondary at this point, an unproven secondary at this point. But I would expect a bounce back year from Jalen Waddle. They're paying him like a low end number one, high number two. So I think the Dolphins believe the same thing.
Marcel Louis-Jacques on the Western Hotline. Marcel, thanks for the time. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the downtime ahead of training camp. Training camp schedule soon?
Soon. Also,
maybe today?
And enjoy. The Panthers are already on the strip there.
Yeah,
before they're at the Elbow cup. Room right now pouring beer out of the cup over the balcony.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. Getting used to seeing trophies in the beach like that. Warm weather. Brady throwing the Super Bowl over a boat. That happened.
Yeah. So when we get back, I asked this question, just kind of threw it out there, and ESPN Analytics has an answer. So most of us would all agree the top three teams to win the AFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bills, Chiefs, Ravens?
Yes.
Okay. Who ESPN Analytics has number four. It was just on the screen a moment ago, talking about who's going to win the AFC.
Okay.
Who has the fourth best chance? Who is the next team outside of that big three? It is not Cincinnati. Not that you went thinking of Cincinnati. I just want to say it's not Cincinnati.
Thought about my first guess.
Okay. Well, who is it? Next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.